Hello, welcome back to Sports Sport Podcast, episode 19. I'm Aiden.
I'm Billy.
And I'm Alejandro.
And today we'll be focusing on some of last week's game and games from the NFL and a little bit of this week's that I've already concluded, as well as the beginning of the NBA season and the NHL season and the beginning of the postseason in the MLB. And yeah, let's get right into it.
Yeah, so we're going to go right into NFL with the Patriots. So last week, the Patriots struggled a little bit against the Buffalo Bills, who were then undefeated, now no more. Josh Allen went into concussion protocol during the game after Jonathan Jones hit. Kind of scary, but Matt Barkley actually came in. I thought Matt Barkley did a little better than Josh Allen.
Josh Allen threw a lot of interceptions.
Yeah, one to Devin McCourty for his fourth straight interception. That streak ended today against Washington, where he didn't have an interception in that game. So it was Jason McCourty instead of Devin. Kind of concerning that the Patriots struggled so much in Buffalo. Brady wasn't really able to do much. I think he might have went for under 200 yards passing. I don't know. But threw an interception in the red zone, which was not good, to Micah Hyde. Just didn't have a good game at all, really.
But the Patriots are characteristically bad when they go to Buffalo.
Yeah, and
for some reason, they just struggle against the worst teams in their conference, which are all of them.
And Buffalo does have a really good defense, despite their offensive woes, which are that their offense is just not good at all. Defense, they have good pieces in Micah Hyde, guys like that, Jordan Poyer, Terrell Edmonds, guys like that. They're pretty good. But Brady's struggling was not good. Sony Michel showed some improvement, yet didn't do too well anyways, despite that. So Patriots did look a little shaky, but they pulled out a win in Buffalo. Tom Brady, there was a news story this week from Bleacher Report that said Tom Brady has worn the same shoulder pads since 1995, since his freshman year at Michigan, which is very concerning.
Concerning because, like, this just, I don't understand how
unsanitary.
And I just don't understand how you take care of a set of pads so well that they last, like, 25 years.
I guess I don't know how it works that they last that long and that they're that safe, but especially for NFL level, I'm surprised that the NFL even allows this. I would think you'd get new shoulder pads every year, but I guess not. I think it's just a good luck charm for him, probably, like Michael Jordan had in his UNC shorts during his career and stuff like that. But, yeah. Patriots signed kicker Mike Nugent, formerly of the Cincinnati Bengals. He's 37-year-old. After Steven Gostkowski was cut. Not cut. Steven Gostkowski went to the IR from a hip injury. Lots of people would like him to be cut at this point because he's missed 4 extra points. Not good. So Nugent today, actually, against the Redskins, missed his first extra point try, which was not good at all. Then Nugent did convert on 2 close field goals, but not looking too good for the Patriots. Minnesota Vikings receiver Stephon Diggs missed practice with a non-injury reason, just kind of decided to miss practice this week. He came back to practice and answered questions from the media, and he said that there was truth to some of the rumors that he was unhappy with Vikings and possibly wanted to trade.
I mean, it does make sense because they don't really have – he's a very good wide receiver, and they don't really have a quarterback to throw the ball to him.
That's really where his frustration comes from.
Yeah.
Is that Kirk Cousins hasn't really been doing too good. Today he had a good game. But before that, hasn't been doing good. They've been mostly centered around Dalvin Cook because he's been having such a good running year so far. So they really haven't had Thielen and Diggs in that kind of air raid offense that they've been running for so long. And,
although Thielen did have a good game today.
Yeah, Thielen did have a good game. Kirk, actually, this is probably the best game of the season for him. They actually kind of came back into form. But Diggs unhappy. There's rumors, of course, that he's going to go to the Patriots because every single time a wide receiver is unhappy, it's going to be the Patriots that come up.
Especially seeing that they're struggling with depth right now.
Yeah, ever since Antonio Brown kind of fell out. of the Patriots lineup.
And the NFL.
And the NFL. That was a doozy. Anyways, yeah, Diggs to the Patriots, I don't think it's going to happen. Do I think he can be traded at some point? I think with this behavior, he definitely could be traded, but I think the Vikings definitely want to keep him in the long run. I mean, they have a great wide receiver core right now with him and Thielen. So they have a good offense. They just need to get consistency with Kirk Cousins, and then they can actually get something done, I think, here. Patriots also are reported to be interested in Bengals wide receiver A.J. Green and tight end Tyler Eifert. I don't find much in this, as A.J. Green, he's injured, so not going to be going to have a huge impact. Eifert also very injury prone, so I don't see much in that either. Bengals not having a good season. Andy Dalton has been throwing the ball a little well, but Bengals still, frankly, they suck.
Yeah.
It's been reported today that the Chiefs, Eagles, Patriots, Ravens, Saints, Seahawks are interested in Broncos wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders. Another Bengals situation where the wide receiver, they're going to shop their older veteran players because they're not having a good season.
Emmanuel Broncos Sanders are has had a decent 4. Season, though.
Yeah, well, really
the
only
team
the
hasn't,
right spot.
But Emmanuel Sanders is the only player doing anything on that team offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I can definitely see Sanders to the Saints working out because, you know, the Saints really only have Michael Thomas as a wide receiver weapon. They have some lower guys in there as weapons, but obviously you want a 1-2 punch with, and they're working really well with Bridgewater. So when Breeze comes back, it's going to be amazing. And if you added Emmanuel Sanders to that mix, they're definitely going to be contenders. Seahawks, I mean, I can kind of see it, but you got Metcalf, Tyler Lockett kind of already working. You don't want to mess that up.
Yeah.
Ravens, don't waste it. Just keep your picks, honestly, because I don't see you as a contender at this point. Patriots, it could work, but you should probably focus on your O-line. Eagles, maybe.
They're not really contenders.
Yeah. Well, I think they are, but
I mean, they are, but
I think
they're
not,
okay
at wide
they're not what they point. Have been.
Yeah.
They're definitely lacking what they used to have in a really solid defense, which they don't have right now.
Mm-hmm. And Chiefs, you're already fine at wide receiver with
Chiefs,
Watkins and Tyreek Hill.
I would understand just inquiring about it, just being curious to see what would happen. But the Chiefs probably aren't a very likely destination for him, as they really don't need any help offensively.
And that would be an in-division trade, so I don't think that would really happen at this point.
That's also true.
Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston went 28 for 41 passing with 385 yards and 4 touchdowns with 1 interception in a 55-40 shootout win over the Rams. Very surprising, because this is the Buccaneers, and Jameis Winston usually very bad winning against a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, the Rams really have been kind of struggling this year.
Yeah, especially after this game. They lost to the Seahawks on Thursday night this week. Just not much there. Jameis Winston, though, the past two games he's been doing amazing, and it raises the question, is he finally coming into form? I think he's shown a lot of improvement under Bruce Arians.
I wouldn't say he's going to be consistently back this way, but I think there is a chance and a probability that he could be back, not back to what like he used to be, but like he could be turning into what they expected him to be maybe a year or two ago.
I think he's definitely coming out of that bust territory that a lot of people have put him in, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's showing a lot of promise, especially when you have Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and O.J. Howard around him. Those are great targets. And I think he's finally finding out how to utilize those targets. And good on him for turning into a good quarterback at this point, because he definitely has all the tools. He just needs to improve his accuracy and stuff, and I think you're finding that. And I think Bruce Arians is doing a great job here, and I would love to see this keep going, because if they can keep up this pace, I mean, they could be in the playoffs this this year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even win the NFC South. I think the Saints probably got that, but you could definitely get into a wild card spot at this point if you keep showing this effort. So
yeah,
I think if they're going to be an interesting team to watch, I'm definitely rooting for them. Raiders linebacker Vontaze Burfict, who's always getting into trouble for hits. He was suspended for the whole entire season after a hit on Jack Doyle. Yeah. I think he probably deserved it.
It was a pretty unnecessary hit.
Yeah, and he's just known for this stuff.
I think it's not the fact that I don't think it was really the hit itself that was so bad to earn it. I think it was just the repeat offenses that he's done it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
On either defenseless receivers or just players that were already down and just unnecessary hits. It's just happened so many times that you have to have increasingly more strict repercussions for it, because if you just do the same thing every time, clearly he's not learning anything, so you need to get stricter and stricter in hopes that he gets better.
He's a great player, so it's a shame that he keeps getting into this trouble. But at this point, you would like to think that he would learn from his mistakes already. Mm-hmm. But obviously, he's just ignoring that, and he just keeps doing these hits. And you know that he's not putting any effort on restraining himself from doing this. So I think putting him out for the year is probably a good move. Try to teach him a lesson. I don't know if that's going to work, but I think definitely teams out of this are going to be cautious picking him up, so it's not going to be good for his market at all. Bengals wide receiver John Ross, the fastest 40 ever in combine history holder, he was placed on IR this week after injury. He was doing pretty good, but now he's out for the Bengals, and the Bengals really aren't going anywhere. And it's just rough to see him go on IR now, because he's been showing promise all of a sudden this year.
He was playing pretty well for the Bengals, even though there's quite a gap at the quarterback position. But John Ross definitely showing his athleticism is very helpful, and he can do things in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So you start to think maybe if he comes back from his injury at a somewhat strong performance level, then you maybe start to think if he's going to start wanting a trade to somewhere else where he actually can contend for titles and playoff runs and stuff like that.
Broncos defensive end Bradley Chubb, young player, second year. He tore his ACL, just a real shame, as you know, he's so young, such a good player, and this could really hold him back. Not going to be back till next season, so it's really a shame that we can't see him develop, and he won't be able to develop until really next season. So such a talented player next to Von Miller, and you know, the team's not really going to go anywhere this season, but you would like to see him get those reps in so he can develop into a better player. Now he's not going to be able to get that, and the injury is going to hold him back, so not good for Bradley Chubb at all. Another young player, Mitch Trubisky, he dislocated his left shoulder. He's not playing. He didn't play today versus the Raiders. That was QB Chase Daniel's job. Trubisky having a shaky season overall.
Yeah, definitely was getting a lot of hate from the media for his performances throughout the beginning of the season.
Just not doing too well for the Bears offense. Their defense has been doing a good job, but offense hasn't been doing too well. Partly because the weapons around him, but Trubisky has not really lived up to the second pick overall that he was so far, and the left shoulder holding back, but he should be back sooner than later, that is reported. So possibly next week, but this week he was not back and kind of showed for the Bears. Giants running back Saquon Barkley is eyeing a week 6 return versus the Patriots after hurting his ankle. He was predicted 4 to 8 weeks before he could come back. This is about 2 or 3 weeks after the injury. So he's really showing kind of strength in this. He wants to get back, and especially after Daniel Jones, after he's come out and started to do so well in the NFL, he really wants to get back there because he finally has a quarterback that can actually carry him somewhere. And they actually have a decent chance at getting to the playoffs, possibly. Not like a completely guaranteed chance, but Daniel Jones has pretty much carried them to wins and a winning record so far this year. with Eli Manning, they didn't really win a game, I don't think. So they have a chance, and you can see that Saquon wants to get back. Because Saquon and Daniel Jones could be very dangerous if Daniel Jones keeps performing the way that he is playing. Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey is not practicing, did not practice this week. Not good. Still wants trade. Doesn't look like he's going to get it. You know, the Jaguars are finally starting to do good and still doesn't want to come back. So kind of confusing there. But he does want the money. So, and they're not going to give it to him. He should just come back and play. That's not going to happen.
It's not going to help you go somewhere else either.
And you should be practicing, honestly. Just play right now and you'll be fine. Just play and you'll get an offer in the free agency.
Yeah.
You're a good player, so show yourself, play well, and bring up your value, and then someone else will sign you.
Instead of being an idiot and bringing down your value, and if you want the money, don't give a team any reason to give you less money than you want.
Mm.
You're just giving them more reasons to give you less than what you want. So you're hurting yourself.
Mason Rudolph today in a game experienced a very bad hit against the Ravens, which pretty much knocked him out. He has a concussion and he's being hospitalized.
It wasn't necessarily the biggest of hits from Earl Thomas. Wasn't really a very major blow. It was just the way it hit him in the chin area, knocked his head back. He was knocked out before he even hit the ground. Very scary injury, something you hate to see for anyone.
It's not good, especially after, you know, he was performing pretty decent for just being thrust into the starting quarterback's position like a few weeks ago after Roethlisberger went down with season-ending injury. So concerning that he went down, and hopefully he's all right after that.
Yeah, and a lot of his teammates were spotted with very emotional like
Juju responses. Juju was very emotional after
that. Juju is very emotional with the injury. So,
yeah. Now on to college football. California State Legislature approved a bill that will allow NCAA athletes to make money off of their likeness starting in 2023, which is a huge win for the athletes and also a potential return of NCAA football, which I would be very excited about.
Yes. That game is wonderful.
But the good thing is now once this passes through, athletes in the NCAA will be able to make money off of themselves, get endorsement deals, and be able to hire agents while they are in college. So they get to cash in early.
Yeah, this affects all the collegiate sports, like basketball and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really good move because like the players should be allowed to off out their own likeness.
They're not necessarily getting paid by the college. They're making money off of themselves.
Obviously, the NCAA spoke against this, but I mean, they're just a bad organization because they're earning billions off these teenagers and taking all the money for themselves.
And another reason don't benefit. Another reason why this is such like a widely supported idea for them to be able to make money is because I believe it was Shabazz Napier. He said after the time he won the national championship, the next day he didn't have enough money to get food. Because you don't have enough time to work because you're putting in so much work into your sport. And money through your,
scholarship.
Money through your scholarship isn't really beneficial for being able to afford food. So a lot of the times the players will be will have, like, malnutrition, which is very important. Nutrition is definitely something very important in an athlete's life. It's a big contribution to how much energy they may have, how they may perform, just recovery throughout any injuries or just soreness. Just being able to access the right foods is always something you really want for your athletes.
Yeah, going off what Aiden said, a lot of people support not against this. I've just said, like, well, the athletes are getting a full ride scholarship to college, which is obviously true, but everyone knows they're there for their athletic talent. And it's not fair that the colleges are obviously know what they're worth to them, that they're making so much money off of them. Mm. They know that they're there, that everyone knows that they're there to fill the same. People are just telling them that's just that you're lucky to have a scholarship, but that's obviously not the point. Because they're being beneficial for the school. It's not like they're not just getting an education. They're also and they're not there for the education either. So
yeah.
I mean, it's their own likeness, so they should be able to
make money off of themselves.
Yes.
Florida is also proposing the same, but for earlier, instead 2020, and Pennsylvania is also taking action on the matter, trying to get a bill passed. So athletes at University of Miami, Florida State, Penn State possibly could be able to get paid. So some major schools right there where their athletes can cash in on some endorsements. Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy is also in for allowing the athletes to make money, which is a good sign. So possibly try and get some stuff going in Texas, which is one of the biggest college football states, obviously, in Oklahoma,
yes,
which is pretty much around Texas. That is also huge with Oklahoma State and Oklahoma.
Yes.
Rutgers fired their head coach, Chris Ash. It's about time, because Rutgers sucks. Honest, let's be honest. Rutgers really hasn't been able to do much, and they also fired their offensive coordinator at the same time. So Rutgers making moves, getting people out of here. Probably should start to try to win games like Kansas is trying to do now. Possibly hire a good head coach next time. Hopefully Rutgers gets back on the right track now, because I mean, they're in the Big Ten and they are honestly horrible for that. Miami versus Virginia Tech was this week. Virginia Tech went up 28-0, although they were the underdogs. Jaren Williams, one of the best freshman quarterbacks in the country coming into this game, was benched after 3 interceptions during the game, which was absolutely horrible. Nekoshi Perry, a redshirt sophomore, came in and threw for 422 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception in relief of Jaren, bringing them back all the way to a 35-35 tie late in the fourth quarter. Despite this, a missed extra point, which would have put Miami up 36-35, was missed by Bubba Baxa, and Virginia Tech drove down the field, scored a touchdown, and pretty much ended the game. But then Miami came down the field, and at the 10-yard line, they had 10 seconds left, threw incompletion, and then 1 second was left on the clock. They threw it again and another incompletion. So Miami lost the game to Virginia Tech. Not very, very good at all for Miami, who was looking to become a top 25 program this year, just not looking good. Nekoshi Perry, though, had a very nice game, very proud of him. Jaren Williams, though, did not look at good at all. He had numbers that were comparing to Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow as efficiency-wise this season, and he did not look good in the game at all. Nekoshi came in, though, and had a very surprised performance. It's going to be interesting to see who is the quarterback next week. I'm rooting for Nekoshi personally, because that was just an amazing performance. He was slinging it. He was doing amazing. And if he was in the whole game, probably would have beat Virginia Tech. But unfortunately, that did not happen. Now on to the main game in college football this week, which was Auburn versus Florida. Florida came in looking like they were probably going to lose because they've had a lot of close games. But Florida won 24-13. Auburn freshman quarterback Bo Nix, he threw 3 interceptions. Did not look pretty, actually. On one play, scrambled back almost 20 yards and fell down for a sack, putting them out of field goal range. So did not look good. Bo Nix, who's had a phenomenal freshman season coming into this game, did not look good at this point, and just was horrible. Just Jaren Williams and Bo Nix, the two freshman quarterbacks that that have been doing really good this season. Both 3 interceptions for them this week. Not good at all. And finally, Ohio State beat Michigan State 34-10, led by Justin Fields. Ohio State asserting their dominance over the Big Ten. Just looking good. I believe 6-0 now, possibly a playoff contender. I think definitely a playoff contender, actually. And hopefully they'll be able to carry this throughout the rest of the season. Justin Fields has just looked amazing. And hopefully they can carry this through for the rest of the season. And now on to NBA.
Jimmy Butler showed up to a 10 a.m. practice at 3:30 a.m. So that would be 6.5 hours.
Early, yeah.
Before practice started. I mean, I guess you'd like to see the commitment, but at the same time, get some sleep.
Good first impression.
I mean, I guess you want a good first impression, but like,
I guess
sleep. Just try it.
Bam Adebayo actually, after feeling pressure from that, decided to come in at 3:30 as well. Next day.
Nice.
Yeah, so the whole team is now sleep deprived.
We're the fans. Amazing.
Just love having a sleep deprived team.
Yeah.
Kyle Kuzma signed with Puma. Puma really making a stretch to sign a lot of young stars.
They're looking good.
They're looking like they have a really good lineup. They have players like Danny Green, Terry Rozier, Kyle Kuzma now. DeMarcus Cousins, who's not going to be playing this year, but he's there.
He's there. He's there, has a name.
But, yeah, it's a lot of good signings for Puma. And I think they have RJ.
Yeah, they have
RJ Barrett as well.
They're looking good.
Yeah, they have a good lineup this year. They're definitely seeming really aggressive. I like to see what they come out with. They have a couple of shoes that have some nice colorways. So
I'm surprised Kuz pulled out of that deal with a GOAT where he got to wear all those shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is nice.
I'm excited to see all the new, more personalized colorways and maybe a couple signature shoes that Puma brings out for some players.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a signature shoe.
I'm assuming Kuz will probably get signatures.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
But and that's probably just about it for now. But the Thunder are searching for a Steven Adams trade.
Totally agree with this.
They're definitely in big rebuild modes through the draft, especially. So probably be looking for a first round pick. Probably a first and a second round pick. I see maybe the Celtics being a team that they would trade him to, just because of their lack of big men and or a lack of experienced big men that have any idea of what they're doing in the NBA.
I think Adams, though, probably too much of cap hit, especially when you want to extend players like Jaylen Brown coming up.
Exactly.
And you already have Enes Kanter and Robert Williams down there.
You just got to hope Robert Williams is able to show up.
Yeah.
And if he can't, you got to hope Daniel Tice steps up and does what he did in 2017. Jaylen Brown had a contract offered to him by the Celtics.
Yeah, so we're not really sure about the contract details at this point, but Jaylen has had a contract offered to him by Danny Ainge. Evidently not accepted at this point.
Jaylen's probably looking for a max.
Yeah.
Which is rightful in his eyes, I would assume, but probably a little bit less than a max would be something that would be
the Celtics would like
for the Celtics. And I think Jaylen Brown seems like a player who wants to stay in Boston, but at the same time, he wants to be paid adequately.
He just really he's been kind of up and down, so there really hasn't been room for him to prove himself fully a max contract. But
yeah.
That's what the market's going to be for him. So the Celtics are going to have to pay him that eventually at some point.
Yes. Eventually he will definitely be making that. I would hope he lives up to that, but we will see. Malik Beasley rejected a 3-year, $30 million contract extension.
Don't know why. Probably should have accepted that because
he's probably not going to get that anywhere else.
I
see him getting more than that.
That is the end of the first segment. We will see you in a bit.
All right, we're back with the remainder of the NBA news. The NBA has talked about the possibility of starting a league in India.
I'm guessing this would probably be a G League to develop.
Yeah.
Or just maybe like programs there to like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see why though, because like, India's, I think China really, would be a better spot.
Yeah.
Because
so would I.
India's not really the biggest basketball.
Do they have a basketball hotbed? I don't think they do.
No. I think you would want to go to like Western Europe or China.
Yep. Same.
Because that's really where the interest is.
Yeah.
You don't
and
start
you think
the league where there's not as much.
There are people in India, but they don't really like Western
sports. You also think if you do go to Western Europe to settle a league, you could maybe have teams in a whole bunch of different countries because you can work in and out of EU.
That.
Yep. European Union. And you can just drive through that. So, yeah.
LaMelo Ball is back in the news. He's drawing NBA interest from the Nets, Raptors, Pelicans, and Trailblazers, as well as some people saying that he is first pick overall worthy, which
I don't disagree with that.
I think just the fact of teams seeing what his father has said and will say and the amount of media presence that it will bring against a franchise that won't want it and won't want the questions about his dad because they don't care about him.
He's not.
Also, his team.
He's not hurt his draft stock.
He's not a bad player, but I don't think a team can get talked into picking a Ball player top 10 again.
I don't know how relevant this is, but also every single time I see his highlights, the scoreboard always has his team down by like 20.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know if it's the team's fault or or a combination.
There's a consistent factor in those games.
Yes.
I think something that would be most likely for him would be maybe mid first round at the highest, I think a late lottery pick.
Yeah.
Or somewhere from like mid first round to late first round is probably where he'll land.
I just feel like there's too much baggage or risk there at that point to have LaMelo on your team. So I don't think you'd want to use the number one. It's not like he's Zion where there's not a ton of baggage there and there's not a ton of risk. There's a lot of risk and there is a lot of baggage with LaMelo. So I don't see what they would have in picking him number one.
Yeah.
At all.
So now we're going on to soccer. In the Premier League, Manchester City lost 2-0 to Wolves. Another shock loss. Their second loss of the season.
Yeah, Manchester City really struggling.
They didn't have Kevin De Bruyne, but still.
I wouldn't say really struggling this season, but they're definitely not
really
what they were last year.
Yeah.
They had very high expectations,
they
not really living
perfect.
Up to them.
They felt perfect last year.
And
so good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Losing 2-0 to Wolves brings them to 8 points behind Liverpool. And that's just not something that you would have wanted from them. Liverpool beat Leicester City on a 95th minute penalty, 2-1. Very, very dramatic finish to that game as they award a penalty in literally the last seconds.
James Milner scored the 90th minute penalty after Liverpool took the lead originally with a Sadio Mane goal, and then they tied 80th minute. People were thinking, like, obviously thinking the worst for Liverpool, a draw, which would cost them points. This game was before Man City, so they didn't know Man City was going to drop points. But they gave a penalty, and James Milner was ice cool from the spot to put it away.
Yeah. So the table is looking pretty
favor.
Interesting.
Yep.
Liverpool with a very nice 8-point cushion.
They're perfect, 8-0.
Yeah, and then you have Manchester City in second, and then Arsenal 1 point behind Manchester City with a large amount of draws and 15 points. They're not necessarily the best form, as their defense is definitely kind of shocking, but they have been at least gaining 1 point in just about every single game.
The biggest shocks are Tottenham. In the ninth, they come off a 3-0 loss to Brighton, who have an Albion of all teams. And Manchester City in 12th. Keep going down and down.
Yeah, just Manchester United really just not doing good things.
Yep.
I mean, I hate to say I expected them to not be even in the Europa League standings to start off with, but I kind of did, because they're just not
the same team anymore.
Good.
Yeah, they're just not good.
onto La Liga. Real Madrid won 4-1 convincingly against Granada 4-2. Goals included a second minute Benzema goal. And Hazard put in his first Real Madrid goal before the break. Luka Modric scored a stunner outside the box, top corner, for the 3-0. Before Ronaldo came back with two goals to make it a 3-2 game, but then James Rodriguez scored in the 90th minute to seal the game for Real Madrid.
James scoring his first goal since coming back to Real Madrid, and Eden Hazard scoring his first goal since coming to Real Madrid. So definitely something you love to see. Maybe Eden Hazard finally becoming comfortable in this new
league environment,
in this new environment with new teammates, and you really hope to see him succeed with this new squad, as they have quite a lot of potential, but really just not performing to the standards you would expect them to perform at.
Then Barcelona won convincingly away from home. Not with more, but against Sevilla, a really pretty good team over the last few years, 4-0 in Leo Messi's league return. Leo Messi scored a free kick in the 78th when they were already up 3-0, thanks to goals from Luis Suarez, Vidal, and Ousmane Dembele, who later got a red card as part of Real Madrid's Barcelona's two red cards. And it comes off a loss, which will reassure Barcelona's Messi's back and their form is definitely too. Real Madrid is top of the league despite early troubles with Courtois, the defense, and everything. And they are the only undefeated team in La Liga with 5 wins and 3 draws and 18 points. It's still tight, though. Despite 2 losses, Barcelona are in second with 16 points, and Atletico Madrid is there for 15, the biggest surprise being Granada with 14 in fourth. Usually a relegation candidate.
And then the Bundesliga race is already getting dramatic, as Dortmund tied Freiburg with an 89th minute own goal. Bayern Munich lost 2-1 to Hoffenheim. And standings right now are Borussia
Mönchengladbach,
that one, with 16 points.
Wolfsburg
at 15 in second place, Bayern Munich in third place at 14, and then a long list of other teams at 14 who just tied based on goal differential.
Yeah, and as far down as eighth, Dortmund is still in the race with 12.
Yeah. You go down to 10th, and there are still teams that are within 6 points of first place. So it's going to be a really, really exciting year.
Hopefully it's really tight. This has been a league that's been mainly Bayern's favorite for last year when Dortmund made it close. But hopefully it's a really tight and entertaining race.
Dortmund definitely a clear challenger to Munich for just the title. Bayer Leverkusen, also a candidate. Wolfsburg is up there, RB Leipzig up there, and Schalke are up there, as well as Borussia Mönchengladbach. Moving on to the MLB postseason.
Yeah, so before that, Chicago Cubs manager Joe Maddon was actually somewhat fired, or kind of just left after having good seasons, but they did not make playoffs, so he is out.
They mutually agreed for the Cubs to just leave.
Yeah. He is the manager of the 2016 infamous champion, World Series champion, Chicago Cubs. They finally won. He was the guy in control. Kind of surprised that he's finally leaving, but the Angels and the Padres are eyeing him. I think both spots for him would be amazing because he's just he's a great manager, and I think he could really harness Mike Trout's abilities and Shohei Ohtani's abilities as well. And with the Padres, Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado, I think he would use them very well. I think he's just an overall good manager, and I think for both teams, he'd look pretty well. I'd like to see him with the Padres just because the Padres have such a young core, and I think they have a lot of potential there, and I think he'd do really well there. So interesting stuff there. Now on to the postseason. For the wild cards, the Nationals won the NL wild card versus the Milwaukee Brewers led by Christian Yelich. They won that game with a Juan Soto double into right that was fumbled around. This was in the eighth inning, and they scored to go ahead, never looked back. The Nationals are now tied with the series in the NLDS with the Dodgers 1-1. Game one, the Dodgers won 6-0, but game two, the Nats stormed back and won 4-2. So looking actually pretty interesting there. I think the Nationals, if they can pull out a win against the win this series against the Dodgers, would be very impressive. I would actually like to see the Nats in the World Series a lot, especially with a young 20-year-old Juan Soto as the kind of leader of that team. And I think he's done just amazing this season, leading this team. Also, Rendon has done very, very well. The AL wild card was less dramatic and more of a blowout as the Tampa Bay Rays beat the Oakland Athletics 5-1. Just kind of a boring game there. The Rays are now in the ALDS versus the Astros. The Astros lead that series 2-0 and look like they're probably going to beat them with that amazing rotation of Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Wade Miley, all those guys. Just outmatching the Rays by so much. The Yankees also are blowing out the Twins right now in the ALDS with a 2-0 series lead. They won game one 10-4 after the Twins led for a little bit, and then Gleyber Torres happened, and the Yankees pretty much destroyed them. And then game two, the Yankees won 8-2. Also, Gleyber Torres happened in that one. The Braves are tied with a series with the Cardinals 1-1. Game one, 7-6 Cardinals, and game two went to the Braves. They won 3-0. Game three is currently in progress, and I believe the Cardinals are in the lead. I believe, let me check right here. The Cardinals are up 1-0 in the bottom of the seventh, so still very close there, and that could go in anywhere.
Yeah, no runs since the second inning. Really didn't seem like there was any action happening for the Atlanta offense as the defense and pitching of the Cardinals was performing very well as they struck out the first six batters.
Yeah, Wainwright having a really good game. So that's going to be it for Sports Report Podcast, episode 19. Thank you guys so much for watching. We hope to see you next week when we have episode 20, which is pretty much a big milestone for us. Just thank you guys so much. You guys can follow us on social media at Sports Report Podcast, on Instagram at Sports Report Po1, on Twitter. Subscribe to us and to YouTube, Sports Report Podcast there. Also, we have Sports Report News on Instagram for all news daily of sports, and also Sports Report CFB for Sports Report College Football. That's on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you guys later.